Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. My name is Sarah Jennings. I'm a performance specialist for Annie Jennings PR. And with me, of course, is the Annie Jennings herself, a highly respected and accomplished national publicist who creates meaningful and valuable publicity strategies that help her clients be heard in the world. Annie offers her famous number one radio talk show interview campaign that comes with free unlimited media training, a performance guarantee, and bookings on the major high listenership radio shows that include the nationally syndicated networks that help share your message from coast to coast. Performance publicity programs are offered for TV bookings, prestigious print, and influential online media placements. So thank you everyone for joining us today. Hi, Annie, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and thank you so much, Sarah. Wonderful intro. Sarah is our performance specialist at Annie Jennings PR. As many may know, we have a performance-only model. That means that you're able to secure the media placements that will help move your business forward and also help you achieve any goals or dreams that you may have for your work or your book. And you only, there's no retainers. You do not have to pay us monthly retainers. So our programs are designed to allow authors and experts to actually be a part of the media, reach the media, be covered in the media. And they're not designed to keep authors and experts out of the media. So today we're here to talk about podcasts, how to get booked on podcasts. Now, why do I like podcasts? And Sarah, you can chime in at any time. The reason we do like podcasts is for this reason alone. You do have a dedicated audience that has self-selected the subject matter. So that's good. That's akin to preaching to the choir. And share your message with people who are naturally interested in your message, which is very good, and we do like that. Now, here's the challenge. iTunes recently reported, and we follow these numbers, January 2020 reported over 850,000 podcasts, okay, are out there with 30 million episodes already. And recently, when we checked a couple months ago, because we do the research on everything, 700,000 was iTunes was reporting with 29 million episodes. All right, so that's a lot of podcasts. All right, we're going to cover how to find these podcasts in more detail in this presentation. So I'd like to talk a little bit about, Sarah, what is the Match Game and how does it increase our chances of getting booked on the podcast? Now, this is important. Given the number of podcasts, you're going to find them in all different genres. Many of those who are signed up today, they sent in questions on getting booked on podcasts. That would be a match for their topic. Very good. Such as leadership experts said they want leadership podcasts that had a profile that included business, leadership, career development, management issues, building a company, starting your own business, and new developments in leadership. Excellent, right? But how do they find these leadership podcasts? Now, that's exactly how the Match Game works. They have to find the leadership podcasts. That means shows that have a profile that accepts leadership conversations. They could either be strictly leadership or they could be general interest. That includes business and leadership. That's what I mean by the Match Game. Now, we call that in-house here, the Match Game. It's a very quick way, shorthand way of saying the topic being pitched must always match the profile of the show. The shows do not stray from their profile, as the audience will be surprised, and an off-topic to what they were expecting might impact their loyalty to the podcast. Remember, they're coming because they're self-selecting. They want to listen to a podcast on something they expect to listen to. So podcasters know that, so they would not book an off-their-profile podcast interview. Just an FYI for you. Play that Match Game, right? Makes sense. So this brings us to the overall topic of understanding the podcaster. What are they looking for? Well, here's a few things to consider. Significant interest in their podcast and a rise to the top of the charts. Advertisers want to spend money advertising or sponsoring their show. And the podcaster themselves want to become an influencer for those reasons. There are significant advertising dollars for podcasters with lots and lots of downloads who have influencer status. It's a business model. So much has changed with the way people absorb and attain new information that fits right in with the podcaster movement, listening on the move. We are a listening on the move society. Most people listen to podcasts, according to the industry stats, on the move, in their cars, commuting, working out, running. Wow, everything, house cleaning, doing chores, whatever. A smart podcaster would only book interviews now with guests that forwarded their business growth strategy, meaning they're a match for the profile of the show, and that with guests would be a very, very great fit for the podcast goals. Now, Sarah, would you like to talk about how podcasts have a tendency to specialize?
Yeah, sure. And I love, there is actually a great resource, too, when you're doing research on which podcasts you're a fit for, you're a match for, because there are so many. So they specialize in different styles and also different topics. So from news talk to political commentary to pop culture to feature, that's more like storytelling, telling your story, your background, general interest, business, health, sports, leadership, giving advice. Expert advice podcast. So you want to search for the type of podcast that you're a fit for. And so the way you do that is to evaluate really, one, who you are, what your background is, what story do you have to tell, what's unique about you, what credentials you may have, and then also what kind of topic you want to talk about, what kind of advice you can give, what are some of the problems that your industry is facing. And a great resource for that is Chartable. Chartable.com. You can search through lots, just like you can on Amazon Books. You can search through lots of different categories and then subcategories and hone in on which podcasts are a fit for you. So you definitely want to, you know, pitch to podcasts that, one, accept your topics. So you don't want to waste time trying to be the exception, trying to be different, because they're not going to book you. They're not looking, let's say a show about pets is not looking for a mechanic to come on. It's not going to be a fit. So because the brand of the podcast can be so big, you know, they really want to stick to the topics that their audience is used to, because that's what their audience is expecting. And they don't want to waste their audience time. Yeah.
And there's an opportunity cost to spending time on projects that are unlikely to yield high, meaningful results and very likely to yield low or no results for both the guest and the podcaster. We recently got a client on Chartable, on one of the podcasts on Chartable, and let me tell you, these were just real people who were very lovely, had a lot of media. Sarah had gotten them a tremendous amount of media, so their media bio was very strong. Sarah, I'm not sure, were they sharing a lot on social about all the media you were getting them?
Yeah, and that's really key, right? Because podcasters look for all the things we've mentioned so far, but they also are really interested in how their guest is going to market that interview with them. So yes, sharing, that these guests were sharing. And so if you have a big social media community, that's definitely something you want to play up. Because that podcaster, like you said, Annie, this is their business model, right? They want to expand their listenership so that they can get advertising.
Sarah, I was so pleased to see that these clients were booked on that, because the show was about finding your passion. And these two clients, you know, they were a husband and a wife team, had found their passion together. It happened to be traveling, and we won't say their names, of course. And I thought, wow, this is so terrific. So I looked up the podcast, and I was amazed at the amount of exposure they got. 28 million people they were exposed to via the podcasters community and downloads. Now, I thought I was doing great. Seriously, I thought I was doing great until I heard that. Our podcasts get 30,000 downloads. So I thought, well, you know, that's respectable. Okay, I'll be a micro-influencer then. And I was recently named digital influencer as well, top 10 digital influencer. So I said, good, 30,000 must be good. Now, the reason Chartable is so important is because if you can get booked on those, that's huge coverage for you. But they're going to be looking for you to be a perfect match. So what are the things podcasters or their producers look for in a guest?
They mm-hmm. want someone who has experience, not only in their area of expertise, but in media as well. They want someone who's easy to work with, which means we don't need egos or divas in the mix, because they will move on to the next person if you're not easy to schedule with. And they're also looking for someone with a big social media community, which is something we had mentioned. If you do have a large community, that's certainly something you want to include in the pitch, so that they can see that there's value, not just in the advice or the topics you're going to discuss, but the marketing value for them, because they know you're going to share that on social media. And they want to see that you have a history of sharing, that your Twitter page, let's say, has active posts that were done in the same day or the last few days. They don't want to go to a Twitter page and see that you haven't posted anything for months.
So you are reaching. Radio is a great training ground. With our firm, you get unlimited media training. So by the time you get to that podcast pitch, you know who you are. You have got a nice media bio. You have the things they're looking for. Maybe you'll qualify for that big podcast. You know, that's the goal. You want them to see that you're going to be a good match for them. You know, you're not going to be a newbie, you know, deer in the headlights, not that they can see your face, but you know what I mean. You're not going to give yes or no answers. You're going to give content, valuable, exciting, interesting, engaging content. That makes a good podcaster, because otherwise they may not come back again. No one wants to lose that. So I don't charge for my podcast. I have an author podcast, by the way, an author expert podcast. I don't charge. I just give you a gorgeous recording that you can share that allows you to talk about yourself, your book. See, there's a lot of great reasons to be on our author podcast. So just send me an email, Annie@AnnieJenningsPR.com. All right. So what are some deal breakers? Here you go. They're going to vet you. An underdeveloped or confusing website that is not up to date is a bad sign. It's a sign that you're not current. They want the most current, cutting edge people they can get. So they're gonna say, well, if their website's not up to date, they may not be that great of a guest. Let's move on for now, at least. They may not think you're a match for the show if your website is confusing or we're not really certain exactly what you do. They're also going to look at your social media. We've mentioned this. Remember, every touch point with a podcaster or their producer is actually an audition. It's an audition to get booked on the show. They're noticing how fast you get back to them, how well you fill out the form. They use various factors, especially if you're an unknown brand and your goal is to build confidence in you and your abilities. And they want to determine whether or not you're going to be a good guest for them. And they use the clues you're going to give them. All right, so if they ask you to fill out the form, fill out the form. I was telling you about the two clients that were booked on that top 100 podcast. Then they didn't pay to get on either. You know, the show did not charge them a fee. And they reached their 2.8 million fans via the social media from the show. And they just love that, but they fit the show so nicely. And Sarah was their publicist, so I'm going to recommend this. Here's why. Do you see how Sarah knew exactly how to position two people who were right for the show? They had the elements in place, because, of course, Sarah makes sure the elements aren't always in place. We never pitch unless we're going to get the yes or pretty close to it. Or, you know, the only reason we would get a no would be if we pitched wrong. So we pitch it for the yes. Now, they're pitched by professional publicists because publicists are a trusted source of guests. As you know, Bowker just released a press release, 1.6 million self-published books published last year, up from 1.2 million. Now, I keep track of numbers, by the way. I've gone back and I stopped counting at 5 million. It just means there's competition out there, that's all. We're in a hyper-competitive world, and we just have to keep going until we get what we want. Easier said than done. But one way is to work with a trusted publicist, because the podcasters themselves, they don't know who they're talking to. Are they vetted? Are they how are they going to be on the show? Do they have media training? Do they have experience? Do they know how to be a great guest? Sarah's not going to put anyone on the air who hasn't been media trained, who doesn't have a strong media bio. She's going to make sure they have this. We offer all this at our company. So this is why this show, with huge outreach, by the way, a top 100, was able to put our clients on the air without trouble. They were just booked. Why? Because they know Sarah and they trust her. They know Annie Jennings PR and they trust us. And they know other PR firms and they trust them. That's one of the advantages. And that's one of the disadvantages of pitching yourselves, which is why the rest of the podcast is, that we're sharing now is very important, because it's going to give you some insider information on how to pitch yourself like a pro. All right. So now let's say you find podcasts where you're going to be brought to a website, you're going to be on the site, and now you're going to look for, where's the podcast information? Is it even here? Let me tell you, I've seen websites where you have to hunt for how to be a guest, but you'll find it. You'll find your way, and you'll be surprised at just how everybody's doing their own thing out there. But Sarah, once you are confident you are a match for the podcast, now what? How do you create the perfect pitch that allows you to stand out from the others, if people are pitching themselves, by the way, because you would naturally do that as a publicist, but what if someone's pitching themselves?
Well, I definitely would say first things first is to listen to the show. So you know the format. You can even make a comment. Hey, I listened to your show 2 weeks ago or whatever one. I really enjoyed what the guest said about yada, yada, yada. It just shows that you respect the show enough to listen to it. Another thing is you want to create content that's new and fascinating. You have to give them your best stuff, not the same old ideas that everyone is talking about. The new ideas, the strategies, the better ways to fix their audience problem. Sometimes you want to be vulnerable too. I mean, if it's a storytelling podcast where they really want to talk about someone's past and how they got to where they are and give advice, et cetera, sometimes being vulnerable and sharing what your story truly is can stand out. Now, this is where a lot of people make mistakes, not publicists, well, some maybe, but not us. The pitch needs to be short. And I talk to hosts and journalists about this. It's the biggest pet peeve. When they write in paragraph format in a pitch is so infuriating for people, because they want, bookers only have a really quick. They get pitched hundreds of people a day, maybe hundreds of the same type of expert that you are. And so they want to know in 3 sentences why you're the best match. And so you want to make that clear right at the outset without getting bogged down into a lot of text. So if you don't grab them from the beginning, they're off to the next. You end up in the dreaded pile. Another thing is you don't want to have them go anywhere else. So you don't want to include a link to your bio. You want to include the 3 most important parts of your bio right there. They don't want to go anywhere else. They want to see right there in the one place what your topic's going to be, who you are, how you got to where you are. And you should really even include your social media stats as well, rather than a link to your Twitter so they don't have to go and see it themselves. Of course, that's great. But if you have impressive media stats, social media stats, you want to include them right there in the numbers in your pitch. Everything should really wrap up into basically a one paragraph. And if they're interested, then the dialogue begins where you give them more about your story. So keeping it short is really important. They're auditioning you in every touch point. So if you ever end up on the phone with a podcast booker or host, you've got to act like that's the actual interview. Let's say if they're doing a pre-interview or they just want to touch base with you. Annie, maybe we can talk a little bit more about like what are the keys to being a great guest and having previous radio.
Oh, absolutely.
It does kind of signal to the host that you're going to be a great guest.
Radio experience is just like being on a podcast, actually, except it's a very interactive modality. And it's just like being on a podcast. You're answering back. Podcasts can be longer, though. That's the thing with radio. You can go 8 to 10 minutes, up to 15 minutes. Some formats can be up to 20, 30 minutes. Podcasters, as Sarah mentioned earlier, can be almost any length. But now when you're a great guest, first things first, as Sarah said, just listen to the show. You want to hear the podcaster at work. You want to note these things. Now, you want to listen like as if you're going to dissect the conversation for a second. You want to note the elements of a podcast. Did they get your attention at hello? How was the energy of the podcaster? Did you feel like excited, like, oh, my gosh, I can't wait? Or did you feel like, sounds a little like boring? Did at any time you want to stop listening? That's key. At any time you say, okay, enough for me, I'm done. You got to know that, because you don't want to be the okay, I'm done type of person ever, all right? So at any time did you want to stop listening, or were you fully engaged throughout? If you did want to stop listening, why? Why did you want to leave the podcast? Now, this is going to help you learn not to be this guest. You do not want to be that guest. Remember, everything you're doing is learning. It sounds like a lot of things to learn, which there are. But when you're under the help, or under the supervision, you might say, I don't want to say supervision, but working with a publicist, they certainly do help you out. What if the podcaster lost your attention? What if the guest lost your attention and interest? You don't want to be that guest either, all right? The podcaster's in trouble at that point. You could be off the air if that were you. But you can avoid this by creating edge-of-your-seat material, and I kid you not, really be your best through preparation and in learning great guest skill sets, which we're going to go over shortly. Now, with this in mind, before the interview, you would prepare the most likely questions you think you will be asked. You want to create bullets, notes, bullet points on that you would like to cover in the podcast. This way you can stay on track. This is a method that's very useful to you. Make a lot of notes, you know, in your materials so that you are really available, you know, to comment on each of one of your notes, because each, let's say, bullet point can now be turned into three or four sentences of conversation, and you want to have that ready should you be asked to expand on a certain point that you're making. Helps you stay on track. Your podcaster is going to have your book, and they're reading it for the first time. You wrote this 2 years ago, so you don't even know what's in your book, probably, right? So now you're going to go through your book. You're going to go through your book again, and you're going to make sure you know what's in your book. You're going to reread it like the back of your hand. This way, when your host says, I just love the section on how to have a career when you've never had a career, yeah, that's terrific, if you could remember what you wrote, right? But you probably won't remember exactly what you wrote. Go back there, summarize that chapter, create three talking points from that chapter so you're ready, because that's exactly what your host is going to do. Or hopefully beforehand they say, could you do me a favor? I love this topic. Could you prepare some conversation points so we can follow a little bit of an outline? Whatever. They're going to ask you for a myriad of things. Not all podcasters are the same. So always have your book on hand. I like to mark books with post-its so I know exactly where I'm going. And the post-its have words on them like career without a career. You know, I know where that was. And refresh your memory. Yeah, reread it. And then you start looking at each chapter. You start looking at each chapter and saying, what's so great about this chapter anyway? Well, guess what? There's three things that are great about the chapter, and the juiciest, and now I use the word juicy because that means ratings in our field, the juiciest is what the podcasters are going to grab onto. So you just go after what you feel is the best thing in that chapter, and you relearn your chapter, and you practice your answers. You actually write them out. So the question is, should I practice giving an interview? If you're signed up for a radio campaign, you're practicing all the time. You're getting unlimited media training. You practice with the media trainer. You practice on the shows. Before you know it, you're a pro. But if you're not doing a radio campaign first, before the world of podcasting, you're going to practice giving your interview with a friend, like someone like Sarah. Let's pretend you have a friend like her. You say, could you ask me these questions and see how I do? And at first you'll stumble and you realize, wow, I wrote this pretty poorly, didn't I? And I'm not making sense, right? And it's okay. You're practicing. This is the whole goal of practicing, to find out your weak points so that you can go strengthen yourself. And it's going to help you pitch too, because now you're going to say, boy, that didn't help me. That wasn't juicy at all. I'm not going to pitch that way next time. So you're going to feel prepared and confident the more you practice. Don't be afraid to practice until you can say things in your sleep. I mean, this is what we do here, you know? All right, so now, this is a good one. I don't know, Sarah, if you want to talk about the environment. You have to, once you're set up now, you're having a podcast, you're definitely going to be on. Now you have to set up your podcast, your prepared material-wise, to the best of your ability. We're going to go into media training shortly. But Sarah, do you want to talk a little bit about how do you create an environment that's conducive to a no-interruption podcast, a good sound, the whole bit?
Yeah, sure. Yes. And I just wanted to add something on to what you had talked about. If a host, let's say, invites you to send questions, and you mentioned talking points, but sample questions, they sometimes will ask you for. But a caveat to that is just in your practice, don't bet that they're going to ask you those exact questions or in that order. many times. You can submit questions to a podcaster, but if they love one thing that you're talking about, they might go down the rabbit hole on that one thing and ask you all new kinds of questions. So you never want to get too attached to an outline or to questions, because hosts can follow and go in any direction that really piques their interest. So don't get too tied to the talking points you submitted or the questions. But yeah, once you've prepared material-wise and you've practiced, now you want to think about the environment. You have to know exactly how that podcast will be conducted. Will the producer call you? Will you call in? How is the podcaster going to contact you at the time of interview? So make sure you're clear on that in advance. Now, it's rare that podcasts do in studio. Some do, but typically it's done via Skype or landline or Zoom, et cetera. So you want to make sure that you have a high quality headset. And Annie, I know you love your headsets, but you want to test and test.
Oh, we really, and Sarah, if I can just interject a moment, we do a lot of podcasts. We've done hundreds of them. When someone is on a headset, we can tell right away. There's that slightly hollow, far away feel. Now, what's the best way to build engagement with an audience? It's being up close and personal. All right, I'm on a landline. I would not be doing this on a cell phone unless it was an emergency. But at which point I would learn cell phone skills, which I happen to know, very quickly, which means don't move. You find a point where you have an excellent connection and you don't move your head. I'm telling you, 2 inches one way or the other, you could get dropped. It happens to me at my desk. Do you know I can't use my cell phone at my desk?
Yeah, sometimes hosts, and we know this, right? They'll say, must be a landline. And some guests who may not be as experienced say, oh, nobody has a landline, I'm just going to use the cell. So it's no, they're actually telling you that you have to use a landline for a certain reason, for a reason that makes a difference in the quality of the show. So when you get directions from a booker, you must follow them.
Yeah, sir, this is a business model. They want to be successful and they're allowed to make money. This is America. We are allowed to go out and be entrepreneurs and make money. If the market's willing to pay for podcasters, for influencers, if sponsors are willing to pay those kinds of dollars because they want to reach that target market, go for it. This is what we're all about here. So everybody wants to be successful. And now you can help them be successful. And the best case scenario is for you to become a regular guest. Hello, that would be amazing. Now, you can become a regular guest by following these guidelines, by contacting us after the teleseminar here, maybe signing up for our radio. You get unlimited media training, or working with Sarah. Sarah's booking podcasts hand over fist here, okay? But we'll give you the media training because that's very important that you don't get on as a novice. You get on as an experienced, confident, media-savvy professional. If you do plan to be a podcaster, you may want to invest in a high-quality mic. Now, right now, we happen to be on a telephone bridge line number. It's average. This is an average type of line. We like the Blue Yeti. The Blue Yeti, I don't know why it's called blue. Believe me, you can get red. Okay. I like the blue. The Blue Yeti allows for a very high-quality in-studio sound. All right, it's just gorgeous. And it does pick up a lot of background, okay? So you want to learn how to use it. You watch all the YouTube videos, but know that. Get your environment under control. Get all the kids fed in front of a movie, whatever, you know? Sarah, you're going to address that better than I, but just keep the distractions out of your path for the short period of time you are on the podcast. And start preparing your office environment well in advance, because there's going to be last-minute problems. Mommy, where's the controller? What? It was just there a second ago. I don't know. Sarah, you're the mother here. I only have 5 kids. You've got 3 little kids. So, you know how these things happen.
Really key to know how long the podcast is going to be. Because if you do have distractions, pets or children or delivery people or people coming into your office, you want to make sure that you can block out a certain amount of time and can cover yourself for that, for how long the podcast is.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Cover yourself. Try to have somebody there. Now let's get into some media training. We have a few minutes left here. We have 15 minutes left. Media training for podcasts. Sarah mentioned know how long the podcast will be. Well, I'll say that again. Listen to the interviewer's previous podcast to learn more about their style. How do they like to interview? Well, they at some point ask you what you feel is the most important thing about your topic and why. That's a good question, actually. Will they ask you to summarize your book in 30 seconds or less? Yes, they will. And ask you what the three most important reasons are that someone should buy your book? Yes, they will. That is a big media training element here in our office. The host, if you meet them halfway and you gave them a gorgeous interview, I mean, my God, ratings bonanza, this is one of the best they've ever done, they're going to give you the floor. They're going to say, now, Eleanor, that was outstanding. How can people find out more about you? That's your opening. You need to be prepared and practiced. People get shy. I've had people clam up. They clam up initially because they're not used to like talking about themselves in the most powerful way they can. This is your chance. You're allowed to do it. You're expected to do it. And most of all, you owe it to your audience. Your audience has just been treated to the most magnificent interview of their lives, let's assume. And they want to know more. They want your book. You're allowed to mention your book. They're going to take from your bio, right, the elements necessary for a very powerful introduction to the interview, so the audience understands your point of view, where you're coming from, what type of expert you are, the name of your book. It positions you in a position of authority for the podcast. At the end, they're going to let you have the fun. So be ready for that, and it's time to practice so you feel comfortable saying, yes, I wrote a book, and here's the name, and these are the things you can learn from it. And if you would like to know more, you can visit me on my website, xyz.com, or go to Amazon. Just enjoy yourself when you get to that point. The ending of the podcast is a time to just let everyone know how much you appreciate them without a problem. So now you definitely never want to be stumped with a question. That's the point of the media training, to get as much knowledge, experience, preparation, and practice before you do go on the air. So you want to avoid saying, wait, can I say that again? Be ready the first time to the best of your ability. It's much better to be prepared for the obvious questions you might be asked. And a good interviewer, well, they're never going to ask a yes or a no question. They will ask questions that are designed for you to dig deep and give them meaningful content. It's very possible they will read your book again for segment prep. So note or highlight the parts you want to further explore yourself, or they may further explore with you on the podcast. So be familiar, and what are the most important elements of your area of expertise that could be in the news right now that they want to talk about as well. So prepare your answers to questions that you have submitted. Always be ready for the question that they feel is important. The podcaster is running the show. Do not ramble. Rambling is a way of buying time because you don't know the answer. So with practice and preparation and confidence, you're going to avoid rambling. Pay attention to the interviewer, like actually listen, rather than thinking, what am I going to say next? No, just be prepared. You have your notes, you have your quiet environment, everything's going great. Enjoy the conversation. It's going to show in your enthusiasm, the cadence of your voice, the momentum, the speed, just the way that you're present, even though it's just your voice, getting up close and personal with your audience. So by being prepared, you can focus more on the actual conversation taking place. And don't hold back on your answers. Like Sarah said, give the listeners the goods. Give the listeners the goods. You want a deal breaker? Listen to this. Do not say this in an interview. Let's say the interview is on leadership. Well, Tom, thanks for asking that question, as it is an essential one that everyone in leadership should understand, the changing marketplace, and they should adapt to stay relevant in the coming years. Now, that's a great question, right? You love that question? Fabulous question. And you know what the interviewer E said? If you want to know, read my book. Okay, talk about being kicked off the air. So that's kind of insulting to you as a listener, because you're there to find out that exact reason why leadership has to go to the next level if you're on a leadership podcast. So that's insulting to you. It's insulting to the host and to you, the listener, for sure. You can bet that yes will be booted off the podcast very quickly after that answer. Because why bother? The attitude of the podcastee, that is the guest, does not fit the needs of the podcaster. So generally, the podcasts are taped to air at another time. A podcast interview that would go like that would most likely not even make it to the air. So Sarah talked about finding podcasts definitely via Google, definitely via iTunes, anyone that lists podcasts. She talked about Chartable is very good. And Sarah, is there anything you can talk now about how do you actually get booked on the show?
Yeah, so a lot of podcasters do prefer to, if you've sent a little bit of a via email, a teaser, you know, that get to the point, one paragraph, three sentences kind of thing, and they're more interested. Many podcasts now use, podcast bookers use a format where they would send you a link to a form to fill out. So you want to make sure that if you get that precious link to their form, you want to fill it out right away. And that's where you can add in a lot more detail. Just like how you would never answer on a podcast with a yes or a no, you always want to expand and expand out. Same thing on that form. Let's say it's a podcast about passion and following your passion. Question might be, have you ever followed your passion? Your answer should not be yes. Your answer should be yes. And here was my experience with the challenges that I faced, and the obstacles I had to overcome, and how my life changed throughout that. Now I changed as a person. And then would I ever go back to the old way of doing things before I followed my passion? So you see, you really want to give your content there. If you get that precious link to fill out more, where many podcasters now will use a form to do that.
Very good, Sarah. So to summarize, just stay active, guys. Ladder strategy. We created that here in the office as a nice visual to just keep going up the ladder. Radio brings you to a level 5-6. You can be a 0. You can be -0. I have a strategy for that. Believe me, we're here to make you, to help you achieve your optimal goals and dreams. Sarah will take you with the rest of the way 6 to 10. And then you'll be flying as high as you can possibly fly. And that's what people like. And there's no retainers here. There's only guaranteed deliverables. I'm an author advocate. I stand for authors out there in the world of getting more value, more opportunity, more availability to the media so that you can share your message with the world and to help your dreams and the world's dreams come true. I know I am an idealist. You'll notice that the people who work for our firm, they've been with me for 15 to 20 years. They also feel the same way, that we have a job to do here and everybody's important in accomplishing the task. Regarding podcasts, we do have a nice radio starter radio campaign that comes with unlimited media training. We also offer a nice entry level, okay, price range for you as well. And you can also purchase media training individually just for the purposes of being a great guest on a podcast if you like. So there's a lot of options available. Simply email Annie at anniejenningspr.com. Or contact me via the website, and we'll set up a nice phone call. You'll be speaking to me very shortly. And if you would like Sarah to bring you all the way up that ladder, this means reaching your highest levels of achievement. This is the 10s in the media, 1 through 10, with 10 being your most major media that you can think of right now. You want to be working with Sarah. She's one of the top publicists in the country. funny story for you. Just last week, one of the major newspapers contacted me and said, major online media newspapers said, do you think Sarah could train the entire publicity industry? And I cracked up. And they said, well, I know that she can't, but from now on, we're just going to use your guys. That's fantastic for us. What a wonderful thing to say about the way that Sarah conducts her business out there in the media world. But as you can tell, she's concise, she's to the point, and she doesn't hold back either. And she's going to make sure that you don't. So with that said, Sarah, I'd like to say thank you for doing a wonderful job today. And thank you for our guests for being here, too. And Sarah, is there anything like you'd like to say in closing?
No, just thank you so much for listening, and we're here for you. I know it can be intimidating to pitch yourself to podcasts or to the media. Many times you may get a harsh no. You know, we're here for you. We have awesome media trainers. Feel free to reach out if you need some help.